Well, brothers and sisters and friends all over the world, literally, because we are able to reach people literally all over the world now on the internet. We're glad. A few words quickly before we dive into the sermon time. I just want to say how excited I am to be a part of a church where people really are helping people. Over the past week and a half, 2 weeks, I continue to hear stories. One of the beautiful things about being a pastor on staff at a church is we get to hear a lot of things that folks in the congregation do not hear about, things that people don't want known, like ways that they are serving others. But it's beautiful to be able to see and to hear about how the Lord is working, how he's using people. One of the phrases that keeps coming to my mind is servants serve. That's how you know them. And we've got a lot of servants, people who are serving. So beautiful to see, beautiful to see. So I want to say specifically to FCC, to brothers and sisters here at our body, to leaders, to elders, to deacons, to ministry leaders, and to a whole bunch of other folks that don't have any titles or anything else like that, thank you. And the Lord is shining through you, and people are blessed. People that I know about in our church and outside of our church are being blessed because people are getting outside of themselves to serve. So just wanted to give that quick kind of word of thanks and encouragement. So today we're going to continue on in our kind of don't worry series. I guess we could call it a don't worry series. Today we're going to be talking about giving thanks. I think giving thanks is kind of an oft forgotten aspect of how we can combat worry. You'll see a picture of some cinnamon rolls here. So this is a picture from our kitchen. So some of my daughters and I, about a week or so ago, we made these cinnamon rolls. I'll be happy to give you the recipe if you want later. But we made some cinnamon rolls, and you can see, I don't know if you can see too well there on the internet, but I've put a list of the ingredients, not the amounts, but the list of ingredients there. And so just for a moment, as you look at those cinnamon rolls, and we iced them, and so they were yummy and sweet, and they were good. They were really good. But just think if we were to leave out one of the key ingredients. So, you know, some of the ingredients there, like yeast, flour, milk, butter. You can imagine, if you can't read because if it's too small for you, you can imagine all the things that are in here. What if we'd forgotten to put the yeast in, for instance? We would have some lovely, round, really dense, not yummy cinnamon rolls if we'd forgotten to put the yeast in. What if we left out the flour? We would have a gooey mess. What if we left out the milk and the butter? We would have a powdered, rocky mess. You get the idea. If we leave out a key ingredient, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And what we're going to be talking about today is giving thanks. And we're going to see in the scriptures, how giving thanks is a key ingredient. If what we want, if what we seek in the midst of, you know, the craziness that's going on in the world, and not just in the world, but the worry that would try to trap us or trip us up, there's a key ingredient, and it's giving thanks. We're going to see it in the scriptures, and if we leave that key ingredient out, we're not going to get the end result that we really desire. So I'm speaking primarily to followers of Christ. If you're watching today, you're not a follower of Christ, we are glad you're watching. But what we're talking about here is how can we, as those who know the Lord by faith in Jesus Christ, how can we not leave that important ingredient out? And how does that affect the temptation to worry or to fret or be anxious or any way you want to look at it, to fear? So that's what we're after today. So let's pray. Will you pray with me now? Here again, I want to invite you to pray right where you are. If you're sitting in your lazy boy at home on Sunday morning or some other time, if you're watching this on your phone sitting at a desk, you know, you don't have to be in a building called a sanctuary to pray, to seek the Lord. Will you pray with me now? Oh, Father, we're looking to you. Lord, we need you all the time. But we're so much more aware of our need. And so we thank you. Lord, I thank you for helping me to be more aware of my need. Lord, I thank you for the ability to, literally, as I was eating a meal earlier this morning, Lord, I'm thankful that I can take in sustenance. Lord, we're thankful that you have made a way for us to overcome sin. Lord, we've not overcome our sin. You've overcome our sin. And then you've given us, you've offered to every human on the earth to repent of their sin and place their faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and to have real life and abundant life and eternal life. Lord, we pray again for those that are watching or joining us by internet today that are not trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you would work by your Holy Spirit and through your scriptures. Lord, we pray that you would call people who are not trusting Jesus now, call them to yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ. There's no other way to get to you, Father, except through your Son, because nobody else died on the cross for sin. Lord, we pray as we walk through really just a few verses here in Philippians 4, Lord, we pray that you would open up the scripture to us. Lord, help us to not just understand, but to take in and to be changed by your word. Lord, we welcome you to work in us. Lord, we ask you to change us, transform us by your Holy Spirit, by your word, by your power. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we dive into Philippians 4, and really we're just going to look at a few verses, before we do that, I want to look at the problem with worry, or at least one aspect of the problem with worry. There's certainly many problems with worry, but we're going to look here just really quickly at Matthew 13, verse 22. And what's going on here is this is in what we call the parable of the soils, one of the parables that Jesus told. And he talked about a sower going out to sow, and there were four different types of soil that the seed fell on. My point is not to talk so much about the parable of the soils, but rather to look at something that Jesus helps us to see clearly through this third soil. Of the four soils, this is the third soil that he talks about here in verse 22, and he says this, and the one on whom, and so what we see is that these soils are actually different hearts. The soils represent how you respond to God, and specifically his word. But he says, and the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, so this is usually called the thorny soil, he said, this is the man who hears the word. Amen. Praise the Lord, right? This person hears the word of God. The word means the word of God, the Bible. We're going to be hearing the word here in just a moment. John already read Psalm 33 for us. We're hearing the word, but he says that this one, this third type of soil, this third heart, is a man who hears the word and the worry of the world. There it is. So there's a heart that hears the word of God, but then the worry of the world. Then he doesn't stop there. He says, the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So the idea that we want to see here is that Jesus says that the whole point of the word coming into my life is that the Lord wants the word of God to bear fruit in me. In other words, if I take the word in, that's not enough. I want it to have its way. I actually try to grow vegetables each year. Sometimes we have, you know, better yield than others. But the whole point of a vegetable garden is not pretty plants. It's fruit. That's what we're after, and that's what God is after in us. So this third person, this third type of heart here that Jesus is talking about in this parable, he says this person hears the word, but the worry of the world chokes the word and makes it unfruitful. So here's the problem with worry, at least for our purpose today. The problem that we see with worry right here from the scripture is that worry, even for someone that's taking the word of God in, worry will choke it out. So I can take the word of God in, but that's not enough. Worry can choke the word. It will choke the word and make the word in me or in you become unfruitful, which really undermines the whole purpose of taking the word of God in. So there's the problem with worry. Now let's go to our main passage for the morning. Really, just a handful of verses here in Philippians 4. And we're going to start by kind of setting up. So here in Philippians, this is the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, who's writing a letter to these believers here at this early church in Philippi. And here towards the end of his epistle or his letter, he's giving some kind of summary commands. He's reminding them of some things. Coming up right before verse 4, he's just talked about unity in the church, and he's called some what were possibly unruly people. to humble themselves before the Lord. And then he says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And that's kind of the theme there of the whole letter. And then he goes on, he says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. So now remember, he's talking to followers of Jesus. He says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Again, God is the best writer that ever was or will be. And look what he says. He says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Well, how can I do that? How can you make me gentle? How can you let your Holy Spirit in me make me gentle and move out of me in gentleness? He says, remember, the Lord is near. And I don't think he means this at all. We've got to be careful. I don't think he means like the Lord is near, so watch out. You know, the Lord is near, so you better be good. I don't think that's what he means here at all. I think it's the opposite. I think he's saying, hey, brothers and sisters in Christ, those of you who are trusting in Christ, remember, the Lord is near. He's your strength. He's your life. And that's how you can let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Because I don't have a gentle spirit in and of Mike, but the Holy Spirit that indwells me, he is gentle. And I want the fruit of that spirit to be borne out. And one of the ways that I can do that is I remember the Lord is near. The very next thing he says, go to verse 6 now, the very next thing he says, right? The Lord is near, and verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. That's a little bit of an odd way to put it. The way we would say it maybe a little bit more today would be, don't worry about anything. He says, be anxious for nothing. That word anxious there, it just simply means worry or care. And in this context, it clearly means care that takes my eyes off of Christ. Care or worry or fretting or fear or anxiety. You know, anxiety has become a big word these days. He says, don't be anxious for anything. And then he says, but in everything, and let's just stop there for a minute. So he's going to give us some instructions. And remember, if we're thinking in terms of kind of a recipe, if what we're after is not letting worry undermine peace and life and joy and rest in us, if that's the recipe that we're trying to make, he's about to give us a few ingredients, okay? But before we get there, look what he says. He says, but in everything. And you know what that means? It means just what it says. It means everything. In everything. So what about if I have this really small thing that's just kind of nipping at my heels and worrying me? Can I take that to the Lord? Well, apparently so, because he says in everything. What if it's a huge thing that seems overwhelming to me? Well, I guarantee you, it's not overwhelming to the Lord, the Creator, the Almighty God. So he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. And then he's going to give us some more ingredients. He says, but in everything, he says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So he uses a few different words here. And here again, now we get into the nitty-gritty of these ingredients, right? He says prayer, which is just what it sounds like. He's talking to God. That's not keeping it to myself. But it also doesn't mean I'm talking to somebody else on this earth. Prayer means I'm taking these things that are trying to make me anxious, these things that are trying to steal my joy, my peace. He says, in all of them, in everything, there's nothing too big, there's nothing too small. He says, in everything, by prayer, right? So talking to God. He says, and supplication. Supplication, that word specifically means asking. So in other words, let's say I'm fearful that I'm going to have enough material, food, whatever, stuff, you know, to get through kind of this long haul of the coronavirus. Well, you know what God says for me to bring my supplications? In other words, he says, ask, Mike. He welcomes us. He says, ask me. Now, you may say, well, doesn't the Lord already know what I need? No question. No question. He knows it before the words are on your lips. But just like I'm a daddy, I got 5 kids, and I know what my kids need. And honestly, a lot of the time when they come to me, especially when they're younger and they're coming to ask for something, I already know what they're asking for. The point is not that I don't know what they're asking for. The point is for them to come to the one who can supply, what they need. And God is the one who supplies all of our needs. So he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, and then here's this other ingredient, with thanksgiving. And I gotta tell you, I think this is the one we leave out. I think for those of us who are Christ followers, I think it's a little easier for us to remember to go to God, although I still forget sometimes. Sometimes something is worrying me or trying to nip at my heels, trip me up. And after some hours or even days, I'll realize I've been letting this thing steal my life, my joy, my peace. I need to go to God with it. I need to pray. And I need to remember that I can ask. There's nothing too great or too small. And we got to remember, this is why I love the term Abba. Abba's Aramaic. And really, I think the best translation for the word Abba is daddy. You know, and to call God daddy, to say that he's my heavenly daddy, that's no disrespect to God. When my kids call me daddy, I don't feel disrespected. I feel warmly loved. I feel like they trust me. And so this is a place to remember that Abba, our heavenly daddy, he's got us and he loves us and he's for us. So there's nothing I can't ask for. It doesn't mean that because I ask it, he's going to give it. God, please give me a Mercedes-Benz. I need a Mercedes-Benz. That's not what we're talking about. I'm making jokes, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about our needs. We're talking about the needs that we each have as humans. Not just our physical, material needs, but other needs, deeper needs, like love, fellowship, joy, peace. And he's got them for us. So he says here, in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. So let's talk about giving thanks for a minute, right? I've got that term with thanksgiving underlined. I think that this is the most forgotten. I've heard people quote this verse, honestly, many times and leave out that one phrase, with thanksgiving. Why is that? I think it's easier. I think it's more natural. Even though it's all supernatural, it's supernatural for a created being to talk to a supernatural God that he cannot see. But it's still easier, I think, for us to pray. I think it's easier for us to ask. But I think it's harder for us, especially when we're tempted with worry, I think it's harder for us to give thanks. And we're going to talk about why. So here's giving thanks, right? What I call the necessary but oft forgotten ingredient, right? And we're not trying to make cinnamon rolls. We're trying to make something better. We're trying to see something transcendent happen in our lives. So here's a few things about giving thanks. Giving thanks is intentional. It doesn't happen by accident. It's a chosen direction. For me to choose to give thanks has got to be intentional. It's never accidental. Giving thanks is personal. No one just gives thanks to no one for anything. Even if I say to you, hey, thanks, you know, we all understand, if you've been through, like, you know, what, seventh grade English or something, we understand that the you is implied there. I'm kind of a grammar geek, and when we say thanks God, that word God there, the part of speech here, that's called the nominative of address. And everybody knows the nominative of address when you give thanks. You know you're giving thanks to someone for something. When we give thanks, it's toward God. It's personal. It's personal to us, and it's personal to him. And it's also humble. When we give thanks, it's humble because we're following God. When we give thanks, it's humbling to us. It's a choice to live in humility because we're recognizing his goodness in tough times. And that leads right into the last point, that is by faith. When things are hard, when something is trying to undermine my peace, my rest, my joy, it's an act of faith to not look at that situation and the big teeth of the thing coming at me. It's an act of faith to say, hey, God, I recognize you're the giver of every good thing in my life. And I'm going to thank you. This thing is loud and in my face, and I'm going to choose to not give my attention to that thing that's trying to trip me up, but rather I'm going to give my attention to you, God, and how you have always provided and how you provide for me now and how you're going to provide for me in the future. It's an act of faith. You know, the way I think of giving thanks in this context, it speaks about the lean of my heart. Or you've heard the term before, an attitude of gratitude. I had a really good example of this earlier this week. I was talking to one of our deacons on the phone. And I called him up. I had a question about a church financial thing. And this is one of our financial guys. And I called him up. And I said, "Hey, brother, how are you?" First thing out of his mouth, he said, "Better than I deserve." You know, I love it when I hear people say that. He said, "Better than I deserve." And I stopped right there and I said, "Man, you just made my day." Not that my day was bad, but he encouraged me. Can you hear the attitude of gratitude in, "How are you doing? Better than I deserve." In other words, he's not looking at the things that are trying to nip him in the heel or take his eyes off Jesus. He's looking at Jesus himself and how Jesus is blessing him. He blessed me when he said it. He also challenged me. That attitude of gratitude, to live that out, you know, not just to have a thought of it, but to actually give action to it, is what we're doing when we give thanks to God, especially when we give thanks in the midst of an anxiety that's trying to tackle us. So we've been talking about ingredients again. So let's look at the next verse here. So what I think is that giving thanks is this oft-forgotten ingredient, right? So what are we seeking? We're not trying to make those yummy cinnamon rolls. What we're really after is what we talk about, is what he talks about in the next verse, verse 7. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God." And verse 7, "And the peace of God." So if I'll put all these necessary ingredients in, this is what will come out of the oven. He says, if you'll do that, Mike, if you won't forget to give thanks to me, he says, "the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension." Think about that for a minute. This is the real peace of God. This is not a made-up peace of God. This is not me trying to convince myself of something. This is me trusting God and living in what he says and giving him thanks in the midst of a temptation to be anxious or worried. And he says, if I'll do that, here's what he'll do. He'll give me his peace, the peace that only God can give. And then he tells me about it. He says, it'll surpass all comprehension. You know what that really means? It means it'll blow your mind. It means you won't be able to figure it out, how it works. I'll be honest, I hid these verses in my heart decades and decades ago, and I found the truth, the reliability of my God, the personal, real God who is, when I give him thanks, he gives me peace. And I don't understand it. I can't understand it. It doesn't make sense how, you know, I put these ingredients in. I understand if I put flour and yeast and milk and butter and, you know, I understand how that works and makes cinnamon rolls. I don't understand this one. Here's what I do understand. God says, if I'll trust him and choose to give him thanks when it feels like the wheels are coming off, he says he'll give me his peace. And I don't have to understand it, but I can enjoy it. And he goes on, he says that he'll give me this peace, and he says this peace which surpasses comprehension, he says, it'll guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Think about that for a minute. Not just in terms of coronavirus crazy. Think about your life. Think about the things that are hard in your life. Think about relationships. Think about regrets. Think about fears that tend to come around. Think about struggles with sin. And he says that if you and I will come to him, if we'll come to him, if we'll pray, if we'll ask, if we'll be humble enough, if we'll trust him, if we'll walk by faith to ask, and then if we will walk by faith and give thanks, he says he'll give us his peace. And what that looks like is he'll guard our hearts and our minds. But then there's that last phrase in verse 7. He says, he'll guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So here's the question. Are you in Christ Jesus? I mean, verse 7 begs the question. If you're not in Christ Jesus, then the God who is not your personally known God. You're not intimate with him because your sin is still in the way. Are you in Christ? If you're in Christ Jesus, praise the Lord. You've got every reason to rejoice. But again, we talked about this last week regarding worry and worship. Just because you're in Christ Jesus doesn't mean that you're not letting anxiety trip you up. But if you are in Christ Jesus, all the more reason, because you know the God that you're trusting in. And you can pray to him, and you can ask him, and you can give him thanks. You can walk by faith, and you can give him thanks. And he says he'll give you his peace. He'll guard your heart and your mind. You know, we sang it in a song earlier just a few minutes ago. How could I respond but to fall and adore? I like that line a lot. How could I respond to you, God? What's the right response to God? If you're listening to this, if you're watching this today, and you're not trusting in Christ Jesus, if you've not by faith turned away from your sin, the word is repentance. We could talk about it in lots of different ways, but the point is you need to view your sin the way God views your sin. And see that your sin is not just like worry tripping you up. Your sin is tripping you up from an eternity with God, not just here and now. So will you recognize that your sin is contrary to God? Will you turn away from your sin and stop trusting in your own ability? And will you turn to Christ in faith? Will you look to him? Will you look to what Christ has done? Will you entrust your whole self, your eternity, your here and now, will you entrust you to him? Will you entrust yourself to what he did on that cross, to his holiness, to his purity, to his payment for sin? Because if you'll do that, if you'll by faith call out and say, Jesus, will you save me? He says that he'll put his Holy Spirit in you, and he says that you're then in him. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful picture. Christ in us and us in Christ. Well, if you're in Christ, you've got access to the God that we're talking about. If you're not in Christ, I implore you, I don't want to just encourage you, I implore you, not because of coronavirus. I had a friend, one of our church-supported missionaries, who posted this on his Facebook or somewhere recently that I read, and I've heard him say it before, but I saw it in writing, and he said, we're all S-I-N positive. Not HIV, we're all S-I-N positive. In other words, we're all going to die. It may be coronavirus, you know, you may live for another 30, 40, 60 years, but if the Lord, unless he tarries, if he tarries, you and I are going to die. We're going to leave this physical body. And what you've done with Christ here and now will set your whole eternity. So he says, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true. So he's gonna give us some things, and we're going to talk about these in a minute. But he says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute. If there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the last part of the verse quickly for a moment here. He says to dwell on these things. It means to think on these things, but more than just kind of think. The word here is a fairly common New Testament Greek word. It means to give careful thought. And I want you to understand that it is a command form. This is an imperative. It's actually a command form in the original language. In other words, what I want you to see, especially to my brothers and sisters in Jesus, this is a command. We don't have the option. I don't get to say, well, yeah, you know, I follow God, but I'm not going to think on these things. I'm going to think on these other things. I'm going to let my own thoughts, I'm going to let my own heart direct my path. This is a command. This is an actual command. He says, dwell on these things. It means give careful thought to. And I want you to see something else, that this is not natural thinking. We talked about that before a little bit with giving thanks, which is not, it's not natural in the midst of a crisis or a fear or an anxiety nipping at your heels, it's not natural to give thanks. It's also not natural in those times to think on these things, to dwell on these things, to rightly think and to let these things move you. That's not natural, it's supernatural, no question. So he says, think on these things, dwell on these things. And this is thinking rightly. So this is another one of those ingredients that we don't want to leave out. Whatever's true. So test, is what you're thinking it related to this fear or anxiety that's coming to you, is it true? Not do you feel it's true, is it factual? Is it true, is it honorable? Especially regarding how you think about yourself or another person. Is it right? Is it pure? You know, the way that we can know whether our thoughts are pure and right or not is do they match up with the Word of God? Is it lovely? Is it of good repute? Is it excellent? Is it worthy of praise? He says, those are the things to set your mind on. And again, it's kind of like giving thanks. Those are intentional choices that we make to recognize what we're thinking. And if it's not one of those types of things, to let it go to the side and think the way God tells us to think. So let's finish up here. Verse 9, he says, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul. He says, the things that you've learned. So maybe from his teaching, from his letters, from watching, he says, but the things that you've learned, the things that you've received. In other words, all the stuff I've given to you. He says, the things that you've heard and seen in me. He says all these different ways, right, that they can kind of take things in or gain things from him. He says, but look what he says. He says, the things that you've learned, received, heard, and seen in me. And again, I want to call out believers in Christ especially here. Look what Paul does. Look what the Holy Spirit of God does. He uses Paul as an example. And Paul, by the Holy Spirit's command and power, is able to say, what you've gotten from me, what you've seen, heard, received, learned from me, he says, those things grab a hold of. Here's the idea. Hey, believers, you and I need to be examples. There's a world in need all around you and all around me, and the need is real. And I'm not talking about coronavirus or food or groceries or meds. All those things are needs. But the realest need that anybody has around us is Jesus Christ, plain and simple. And so the Holy Spirit uses Paul here to say, we should be an example. Those of us who know the Lord, we should be an example. But he says this, he says, the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, he says, practice these things. And again, this word practice, it's a command form in the original language. He says, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And that's what we really want. What we really want is God himself. And look what he says. We've gone, in verse 7, from the peace of God. Now we've got the God of peace. Just two verses apart, we've gone from getting the peace of God, and now we talk about God himself. And it's really the one and the same. But what I think he means here is he will manifest himself. And I don't mean in some physical way. Do I want the peace of God or I want the God of peace? Well, it's a package deal. But he says this specifically. He says, if we will practice these things, if we'll live out what it means to follow by faith, he says it's not enough to learn and receive and hear and see. He says, I must put these things into use. I must do them. I must live them out if I would have what my soul really desires. And that's God himself manifesting his presence to me in peace. Not just the peace of God, but the God of peace himself. You know, this is better than cinnamon rolls. The cinnamon rolls were good, but this is better than cinnamon rolls. But we got to put all the ingredients in there. We're going to make sure that you and I, when we're tempted to worry, turn away from worry, don't worry, and instead give thanks. That we pray to him, that we bring our request to him, But we've got to give him thanks. And he says, if we'll give him thanks, and if we'll live out these things, if we'll think these ways, and if we'll put these things into practice, he says, we won't only get the peace of God, but we'll get the God of peace himself with us. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we're looking to you. You, Father, Son, and Spirit, you, the triune God, we need you. And, oh, Father, we thank you that you've given yourself to us in giving us your Son, Jesus Christ. And now Jesus is there sitting at your right hand, and you've given to us the Holy Spirit to guide us, to encourage us, to challenge us, to comfort us, to convict us. Lord, thank you. Lord, we need you desperately. Thank you that you've let yourself be found by us. Lord, we want to pray again for all those around us that do not know you by faith in Jesus Christ, that you would open their eyes. Lord, like you've opened my eyes. Lord, that you would humble them like you've humbled those of us who know and love your Son. Lord, that you would convict people of sin, convict people of their need like you've convicted us. And Lord, that you would save, that you would heal, that you would redeem. Lord, use this time. Lord, use these fears and these anxieties all around us. Lord, for those of us who know you by name, Lord, let us grow in faith. And Lord, for those who don't know you yet, Lord, we pray that you would use these times to draw their hearts to you and to save them, to give them real life, abundant life here and now, and eternal life forever. Lord, thank you. Thank you for hearing us, for receiving us. Thank you for loving us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
As we close out, we wanted to give you an opportunity to meditate on the things that Pastor Mike has spoken about. And so before he comes and speaks the benediction to us, we're going to just observe the words on the screen while I play a piano arrangement of the song that we started with, Day by Day, and just commit this time to thanking the Lord for what he's done for you.
Thank you, John. I want to close out with two verses at the very end of Matthew chapter 6. This is Jesus talking, and he says this. He's been talking about worry for some verses leading up to this point. And then he says this in verses 33 and 34. He says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So I want to close out calling you and me, each one of us, to hear, to receive, to abide by what Jesus has called us to do, to seek first his kingdom. Worries are going to come if we give them, the more time and energy we give them, the more they'll take. He says, if you and I will set our eyes on God himself and on his kingdom and seek them, he'll take care of the rest. May the Lord bless you. May he help you. May he strengthen your faith today to follow him, to not worry, and to give thanks. Amen.